That mysterious music can only mean one thing. It's time for the stream of consciousness or the bonus hour. It's Bill Leff. Wendy Snyder is away being mended. She had knee surgery last week. She'll be back in a couple of weeks. Filling in for her, my friend Harry Tynowitz. Hello, Harry.
Hi, Bill. How the heck are you?
This is the bonus hour. How could I be? I'm fantastic.
A bonus.
A bonus. Nobody pays for this hour, Harry. This comes with it. You buy the kit, you get this for free.
And even if it weren't the holiday season, this hour would still be available.
Absolutely.
A bonus.
Yeah.
And we hope Wendy, I've known Wendy forever, and I hope that she's doing much, much, much better.
She'll be fine. Back in time for the Olympics.
Back on her feet.
Yes.
The Olympics are starting soon.
Very soon. Very, very soon. I was telling you off air, I was off Thursday and Friday for a medical procedure. I had a colonoscopy. During the four-day break for me, a very close friend of the family's, a lady named Phyllis Siegel, who I've known my entire life, passed away. This happened on Friday.
Sorry.
So, yeah, very, very sad. A close, close friend of the family's forever and ever and ever. So yesterday they had a get-together at the house of family and friends. And I've been to these before, and I'm not a religious person. I certainly understand when somebody passes away. I understand the purpose of having a religious ceremony, mm-hmm. and I'm so totally fine with that. I've been to many, many of them. But I like this better because it's in the home and it's more comfortable. It's just better, in my opinion. Anyway, what happens at these often is stories are told about the person who is no longer with us, and you find out little tidbits, little stories from their past. And the one that I found most comforting, most soothing yesterday was her daughter told me the story about how when their family dog had died. Now, this was years and years ago. She loved this dog so, so much. And the only thing that she could do to ease her sorrow in losing this dog was that she took the fur from the dog after the dog had died and turned it into sweaters for her children.
What? Yes. Did the kids know at the time?
Yeah. She waited a couple of days, and then she said to each of them, there were four kids, I have a surprise for you. I don't remember the dog's name, but she said, the dog will always live, of course, in our hearts, and now I've had these made for you, and handed them each a box, and they opened the box, and burst into a laughter that, you ever see that film of the Titanic, not the Titanic, the Hindenburg, when it explodes?
Yeah.
That's how they exploded in laughter, and she didn't think it was funny. She thought it was just a nice gesture, a way of keeping the dog,
forever.
Yeah. But no, the dog was made. I didn't know that was an option, that you can make a dog in a sweater.
Okay, first of all, I know how close you were to Phyllis.
Very nice lady.
You know, my condolences. It's awful. I know she got to live till late 70s.
Yes.
But still not long enough.
Never long enough.
Never long enough.
Right.
Okay, that's just weird. You know, I'm a dog lover.
Yes.
I love dogs.
Yes.
We had dogs growing up the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you have a dog, you get it. You know,
mm-hmm.
they're part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't think, like, if, you know, like an uncle passed, that, you know, there'd be, like, a sweater made out of the uncle.
You would hope not.
No.
That would be eerie.
That would be, you know, unless you're like a Silence of the Lambs fan.
Right, then it's fine.
Yeah, then it's okay.
That is fine. But I like that everyone in the family had the same exact reaction of,
this
what?
Is ridiculous.
Right. And then my question was, I said, please tell me that you didn't hurt your mom's feelings, because that would be awful. You just lost the pet that you love so much, and then you think you're doing a nice gesture, and it comes back to explode on you. But they said that once she saw that all of us were laughing, that made her very happy. Probably could have saved a couple $100 and made him laugh another way, but so what? You know, you found a difficult situation and you turned it into something positive.
There was a story, but this reminds me of a story about 3 years ago of a very eccentric, well-to-do woman.
Yes.
Who had been with her dog forever, and she had it in her will that, like, you know, if she wanted to be buried with the dog.
Really?
And
can you do that?
Yeah. I guess, and she just assumed the dog would go first. Well, the dog didn't go first.
Oh.
She went first.
Oh.
And then they were in court, because her lawyer was saying that this dog should be put down and laid to rest with this woman.
Yeah.
You know, the woman's got to get put in the ground.
Yeah.
And there was another family member saying, this is still like a living dog. You cannot do this.
You can't euthanize a dog just to make your burial easier.
Right.
Right.
Just I was just like so grossed out by the story and sickened by the story.
I know there are places that will, once your animal has died.
Oh, yeah, they'll entomb you can have like a doggy cemetery.
You could do a dog cemetery.
Stephen King should write a book about that.
Yes, that would be a perfect idea for a book. You can also have the dog, I guess, is stuff the correct terminology?
Yeah,
but you can have your animal mounted, stuffed, whatever, and you know, and then look over and see it for the rest of your life if you feel the need,
Very, very weird. Didn't they do that with Trigger? Didn't, like, Roy Rogers do that with Trigger?
I think that Roy Rogers did that with his horse Trigger.
Eric Zorn, right. You know, I'm not Eric Zorn, but the dictionary guy might tell me, no, Harry, you're making that up. That's just an old wives' tale.
But, you know, it was such a nice moment because certainly whenever anybody dies, it's always very, very sad. And we were hearing such great stories about her, and then that story came up yesterday, and we all had a good laugh, not at her expense, but just at the thought process
right.
of what can I do? I've lost this dog that I love so much. There must be something to keep it around. What?
And,
you know,
and
make sweaters
and
out of it.
To me, that's a story that just proves what a wonderful person she
right.
was, what a warm heart
right.
that she had, that she wanted to keep the dog alive, the memory of the dog.
Yes.
That's not a bad story. That's a great story. It's, you know, some people might say it's a little goofy, you know.
It is very goofy.
Right, but
it's very goofy, which is not like her, because she's a very logical human being.
But the intent.
Yes.
The intent was so wonderful.
Yes.
She just loved the dog and wanted to keep her dog around, the memory of her dog around.
Now, Harry, I am I'm a stickler for detail.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, as I'm hearing the story, I'm thinking, you know, how outrageous the story is. But I'm also thinking to myself, I don't know that I've ever seen a dog that could provide for four decent-sized sweaters.
It's a big dog.
That's a hairy dog. You have to have
What? Really? Hairy dog?
Not you.
Okay.
But you have to have an extreme excess of hair.
Yeah.
I don't know how
Saint Bernard?
I don't know what kind of dog it was.
Great Danes are the biggest dog, but they don't have a lot of hair.
No. Could you, if you saw somebody in a sweater, could you identify the dog just by the look of the sweater? Could you walk up to somebody and go, Schnauzer? You couldn't do that, could you?
Oh, I don't know. It'd be fun. Golden Doodle.
Golden Doodle?
Could be fun. And, like, you know, it'd be fun to see, like, how many, you know, dogs it would take to make an individual sweater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, where you could make one sweater out of, you know, out of a Labrador Retriever.
Right.
Might take you, like, 30 Chihuahuas.
Yeah, maybe. Right, right.
I don't think so.
I would think that a business that does this
mm-hmm.
also has to do other things. Because I don't know that your business...
It would be enough.
This is not the Wintrust Business Lunch, but I'm not sure that your business could survive well only making dogs into sweaters. I think you'd have to have some sidebar. There'd have to be something else that you offer on your menu of services.
Right, like cat food, dog food.
Yeah. Something like that.
Did your mom ever have a mink coat? Because those are like a generation ago. I don't know like any people today that really have mink coats.
I don't
coats.
Think my mom had a mink coat. Yours did?
Yeah, my mom had a mink coat.
Yeah.
And I remember like, you know, trying it on.
You did?
I'm secure enough in my masculinity I could say that.
Was it prom?
Phil, I wasn't going to wear it out.
Oh, you just wanted to see how it looked on you.
Mom, no, I didn't want to see how it looked. I wanted to see how it felt.
Oh, how it felt. Yeah.
Yes. What is wrong with you?
Did it
how
feel,
it looked on me.
Did it feel swanky?
You know, have you ever watched like an old movie of like, you know, trappers, you know, people.
Fur trappers?
Yeah, fur trappers.
Yeah.
You know, like Jeremiah Johnson or something.
Sure.
You know, remember the scene in Star Wars when Luke is freezing, so he has to cut the Don, right?
Tauntaun.
Tauntaun.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm thinking of Family Guy. It was a Don, and he sounded like Don Knotts.
Oh.
But, you know, I mean, people used to use animal fur,
yes,
you know, as a wrap. As
sure.
So my mom was wearing a mink coat, and so I tried it on one day. Then kept it on for a
couple of days.
Junior year.
Sure.
But it was like so warm.
Yeah.
And practical.
But to look at it, you would assume it'd be warm, wouldn't you? Because it's a big hunk of fur.
Yes, but it was like, you know, there were no sleeves, I think.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was a cape. I don't know. But I could not imagine wearing Like a dog, what?
Here's why I'm snickering privately.
Yes. Not too privately. You're out loud. You're snickering.
My mom had, I can't even imagine my mom in a mink or a stole. It's just not my mom. But she did have more than one cape. She had like three or four different capes. And it would all, because to me, the only people that should have been wearing capes were superheroes.
Right.
Yeah. That's the only people. But every once in a while, if my mom and dad were going out somewhere nice, she would, you know, skim through the closet to see which of the capes was most appropriate.
That's great.
And it made me laugh every time because I just went, you're going to wear a cape. She had four capes.
Right. But, you know, I mean.
Does your wife have a single cape?
She does not have a single
cape. My wife doesn't have a cape.
But my daughter never wants to wear a coat to school. It's 29 degrees this morning. My daughter's not wearing a coat. She's got a sweatshirt on. I'm like, put a coat on.
You were never like that as a kid?
I'm sure I was.
I was like that as
a kid. I'm sure that I was.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially Halloween.
Yeah.
But I don't care how cold it is. People won't see that I'm an astronaut if I wear a coat.
Right.
So, I mean, capes are, you know, I mean, it's cape is like, hey, I'm going to stay warm without being like, you know, like sweating warm.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was fancy. But I think, like, if you had a cape out, you know, probably not every kid would want to try it. But, you know, I did. But it's nothing like your family dog. That would be so weird if, like, my family dog were part of a sweater. I would never wear
it.
I would never wear it.
It would feel disrespectful to the beloved pet.
Right.
In my opinion, anyway, it would feel like you were disrespecting him or her by wearing it as a outfit.
Right. And nowadays, I know that they could theoretically recreate him. Right.
Yes. You know, synthetically.
Yes. So, yeah. I mean, like, I'd rather have a synthetic recreation.
Yeah.
Than my dog's actual fur on a sweater.
Wasn't that a story in the news not long ago that there was some company somewhere that was figuring out a way to take your animal's DNA and then recreate it? That was just a story a very short time ago.
Right.
But the bond that's there now. I'm not a pet lover, but I understand the bond between a pet owner and a pet. You wouldn't have that with the cloned version, right? You'd have to start from scratch.
Well, the difference is the cloned version wouldn't have you.
Right.
You know what makes dogs so great. You know, my wife grew up with a cat, and that explains a lot. But what makes dogs so great is the love and affection, the trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, dogs are better than cats.
Mm.
You know, because like to me, dogs relate to you,
and dogs aren't constantly plotting ways to kill you the way cats are.
Right.
There's never a time that a cat isn't looking at you, going, "What would I need to do to bring this guy down?" You know that, right?
Yes, they do.
That's all they think about is there must be something I could do to destroy this person.
Yeah, and cats are so bizarre the way that they'll like just stay in one area for a while and they'll dart into another room.
They do that?
Yeah. What are cats thinking?
I don't know what they're doing.
Can't imagine what a cat is thinking in that situation.
Right. I don't know.
It's like they have a date book or something.
Ah, who knows?
But what you would still look at the dog. You know, my dog's name was Dodger.
Dodger the dog?
Right. We had Oliver for years, and Oliver died. The neighbor shot Oliver, which is a horrible story.
What?
You know that story, right?
No.
I was a kid, and my dad came to school and said, well, you know, I'm taking you home. What happened? My dog got shot. It's very traumatic.
On purpose?
Yeah. We lived in a big cul-de-sac, and there was a woman across the street who had a 99-pound German Shepherd in heat.
Yeah.
And she thought it would be a good idea to leave her outside. So Oliver was a 13-pound Lhasa Apso.
Yeah.
And he was trained. We'd let him out. We'd come home from school. He knew not to get hit by a car. And we'd come home from school, and he'd be sitting on the top step as we walk our way up to the front door. And he'd be wagging his tail, and he'd jump all over us. And, you know, hey, you know, Harry, Dave, and Billy are home.
Yeah.
We would play with Oliver. And so Oliver's a male dog, and he smells a female dog in heat. He goes across the street. She's not fenced in, mind you.
Yeah.
This is how dumb this woman was. She had her dog on, like, one of those, like, leashes that gives her the free run of the backyard, but it wasn't fenced in, so other male dogs were there, too.
Your dog, just minding its own business, sniffs the fact that there's a dog in heat. This, by the way, is almost identical to Matt Lauer's story. Almost identical.
Is that there was no office.
Right. That's
there was no button he could push and close the doors to his kennel.
That's the only difference.
Right. So Oliver goes over there, and rather than call up my mom and say, your dog's over here, or call the police, call the Glencoe police chief, she took a pellet gun and she shot my dog.
With the intention of killing the dog?
With the intention of saving her dog.
Oh, no.
Right, it's terrible. And
that's
so
horrible.
It's all damn right it's horrible. And so my dog...
What was the block party like then? You guys couldn't sit next to this woman at a block party.
No, never, never. And her name was Jenny. She's known as Jenny from the block. Nobody would talk to her.
This is a horrible story.
It's a horrible story. And my dog went, made it over to, how smart my dog was. He knew he didn't have the strength to make it back to our house, but my best friend, Greg Rudenberg, his house was like right by this crazy woman.
Yeah.
So he went to Greg Rudenberg's doorstep.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Rudenberg found him and gathered him up and took him to the vet, and unfortunately he didn't make it.
Oh, that's terrible.
Right. And so when my dad was there waiting, a woman happened to be bringing in a litter of Lhasa Apso pups. She was getting her dog checked.
Yes.
And brought in this litter of Lhasa Apso pups. And eventually we would get a male from this litter.
Yeah.
And we'd try to think of a name, and Oliver the Musical had just come out.
Right.
You know, the movie of it. And someone said, well, Oliver's friend is Dodger. The Artful Dodger. So that's how we got the name. It's not named for the baseball team.
No. But for Jack Wilde.
For Jack Wilde.
Yeah.
With an E.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's named
for. Well, I'm glad the story had a happy ending.
Yeah, so Dodger turned out to be a great dog.
Did you pursue any kind of...
Yes, we did.
I hope so.
My dad's a lawyer, and we pursued punishment for this woman.
Yeah.
And you know what happened, Bill? She shot my dog.
Yeah.
And she got fined $75 for firing off a gun within a school ordinance. That was it.
That's horrible.
It's terrible.
That's terrible. Harry, the only thing I can possibly think of to cheer you up is to bring in Judy Pilak. That's all I can do
to
make things right. All right. We'll take a quick break.
Always leave him laughing, Judy.
As dessert. Well, I'm sorry, Judy. Go ahead.
Hello, Bill. Hello. Well, there we go.
It's not the way Wendy does it, Bill.
I got a puppy yesterday.
Aw, how cute. What breed?
It's a terrier mix, they say. Maybe part Chihuahua. It's very small. It's my daughter's, actually, but we know whose it really is.
So when you get the mix, that means that there's peanuts and little pieces of chocolate in
it. And funny, his name was Peanut.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, we renamed him. It all ties in. Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Judy will give us the news, and then more blabbering from Harry and myself. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. Judy, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
I know you have to leave because you don't like Harry.
Is it because I'm Jewish?
Is that what it is?
That's not the reason.
I hope that's not what it is.
No, it's a different reason.
All right.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
Thank you, Judy.
Have a wonderful day.
That's Judy Pilak. She'll be back tomorrow.
And good for the Pentagon that Trump, is not going to get his wish, that people that are... have a different preference than he does, get to go serve in the military.
I think anybody who is brave enough to serve in the military, regardless of just about anything, if you're willing to lay your life down on the line, have at it, please.
You're
a hero.
Heck yeah.
I'm not cut out for it. Are you cut out for it?
No, I'm not cut out for it. My dad served 2 years in the Navy, I can't imagine.
Right.
I couldn't imagine. You know, the Army-Navy game was on Saturday, and, to me, that's always just been something that, I could gamble on.
Right.
But, other people get it, and I love it at a baseball game, or last night at the Hawks game.
Mm-hmm.
In the third period, they took a minute and honored, the two people. One was, much, much older. It's just, it's great. It's respect. They deserve it.
I can't tell you how many times I have been at a Blackhawks game where they recognize people who have served time in the military, and the crowd gives them a thunderous standing ovation, and you just see like a little tear welling up in the eye of whoever's getting that ovation. And I think to myself, that is really the key moment of this whole night. It's exciting to watch a Blackhawks hockey game, but the mere fact that all those people are paying attention and paying tribute to somebody who did put their life on the line for the country, that's just amazing to me.
It's great. And there were during the, I love what Colin Kaepernick did.
Mm-hmm.
There are people like, how can you support him? All he wanted to do was start a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So in that regard, I love what Colin Kaepernick did. And I think it's horrible that there are bad quarterbacks playing in the NFL today and Colin Kaepernick is not playing.
I know. All right. So that said, people have hinted at the fact that there is collusion, that,
yes,
that owners of teams have gotten together and say it's really not in our sport's best interest to have this guy on a playing field. Do you think that that's taking place with him?
For sure.
Do you?
I of course it is. I mean, there are guys playing in the NFL who are not as Colin Kaepernick last year didn't start out as the starter. He earned his way onto the field with the 49ers,
right,
and was very productive. He had, like, 22 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's a very good runner.
Right.
You know, he could always go pick up a first down. I can't believe most teams have 3 quarterbacks. They'll only dress, you know, Mark Sanchez is on the Bears. People forget that.
Right.
But
he's the third string quarterback,
right,
for the Bears.
They'll dress 2. And how they want to dress him up, it's up to them. But,
yeah,
you know, I can't believe that Colin Kaepernick is not one of the – I'm not saying he's the best. I'm saying I can't believe that it's 32 teams, so there should be – therefore,
yeah,
you know, 32 times 3, even,
yeah,
I can do that math.
Yeah.
You know, there's 96 quarterbacks out there. I can't believe that Colin Kaepernick is not one of the best 96.
It seems a little suspect.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Right.
Aren't you upset that his original intention for taking the knee – has now been kind of twisted and convoluted.
Twisted. Incredibly
horribly.
Twisted.
Yeah.
And so last night we're at the Blackhawks game, and there are these 2, like, teenage kids that weren't standing during the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that, I don't think that that's, like, what Colin Kaepernick wanted. And,
right,
you know, there's a bunch of, there's a whole movement of, like, veterans that support Colin Kaepernick's cause.
Right. Right.
So it just got tossed aside. I didn't mean to go off on that, but
that's all right.
It reminded me last night of seeing these 2 teenagers that, like, really, you're not going to stay. They weren't taking a knee. They were just sitting on their chairs.
So were they doing it more to be lazy, or were they doing it for some political agenda?
I think, you know, there's an early Billy Joel song, Angry Young Man.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I once believed in causes too. I had my pointless point of view.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, when you're at that age, you want to have a cause. You
yeah.
want to rebel.
Yeah.
You want to, you know, do something other than,
right,
you know, the norm.
Right.
You know, but to me, the national anthem was like, you stood up.
Yeah.
You respected it.
Yeah. So what do you think going forward is the best way for players to express what they're trying to express here? Was taking the knee, some guys said, you know what would be best would be to keep the team down in the locker room and we play the national anthem,
right,
and then after the national anthem is played, then you bring the team out. Is that the right way to have done what they're trying to do or not?
Colin Kaepernick was ahead of the curve. He was brave enough,
yeah,
to, you know, to start something,
yeah,
you know, without knowing how it would affect him, how it would impact him. There is a backup catcher on the Oakland A's who was the first baseball player to take a knee.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry how it's going to, you know, affect his career.
Well, they said he was criticized by a lot of people for doing,
mm-hmm,
this, you know. And I mean, it's just, like I said, it's sad that the message has just kind of fallen away in all of this.
Charles Barkley always said, I'm not a role model.
Yeah.
You know, your parents are a role model.
Yeah.
But Colin Kaepernick didn't say, I want to be a role model. He just said, I have a chance because of, you know, being a starting quarterback in the NFL right now of making an impact.
People listen to him.
Right. I think social media is a great way,
yeah,
for you know, athletes to make an impact. I don't think that they need to take a knee anymore in the national anthem.
Right.
And I know that there's been all kinds of conversation. You know, they want to do a panel now where they sit down and have owners and players together talking about, you know, not just like racism, but like, you know, important things that need to be discussed.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they've guaranteed X amount of dollars that will be, you know, used to help, you know, the cops shooting, you know, these white cops that shot black kids. There's so many cops out there that risk their lives. I love cops.
Yeah.
I love firefighters. We had a big fire in my house and firefighters ran into my house. They didn't know who we were.
Right.
They risked their lives to save us. Cops risked their lives to save,
sure,
us. So you have like isolated incidents where one cop blew it.
Yeah.
You know, or you know, another cop, and I know it's happened multiple times, and I'm not a political advocate, you know, but these body cameras they were talking about all morning on WGN. You know, Rahm Emanuel said that they're great body cameras because they will make people accountable.
Uh-huh.
And when someone driving a car has a memory and a cop has a memory, now we have proof and we'll know exactly what happened.
But you could certainly see, if you're a black kid growing up in the United States, you could certainly see where the rules aren't quite the same for you as they are for you and I.
They don't seem fair.
Right.
They really don't seem fair. And, you know, I've been told by my black friends, you know, you've never been stopped for no reason. Mm-hmm. You've never been profiled.
Right.
And as you know, whatever scares you.
You've heard the term DWB, right? Driving while black. That's like a common thing that people have told me. They go, sometimes that's all it takes, is you're a black guy driving a car and that's all it takes. And over the years, over the last couple of years, everyone from Trevor Noah, who's in charge of The Daily Show, to Barack Obama himself, who was a former president, said, I've been stopped for driving a car.
For no reason.
Yeah.
And that happens, and that can't be right. And, you know, they have to... You know, I know parents have told me that not only do they have to do the same things that we have to do, teach our kids right from wrong, teach our kids that, you know, you want to be liked, but sometimes the cool kids don't always do things the right way.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I've had people tell me, and when you're black, there's a whole other conversation you got to have.
Yep. About how to handle
getting stopped. You have so much rage going through you, but you can't show any of it.
Right.
Because they're looking for something like that.
Right.
So, you know, I think what Colin Kaepernick did was spectacular. I applaud him for starting the conversation, which is all he wanted to do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think Colin Kaepernick would have been happy that there were two teenagers that were sitting during the national anthem. Because, you know, really, on a football field, it's noticeable when you have an athlete taking a knee. But, like, last night in the stands, people were just looking at him going, oh, what's your problem?
Yeah, right. I'm sure of it. In 5 or 10 years, when we look back on Colin Kaepernick, and a quick side question, will he quarterback in the NFL again, or are those days over?
I don't know if he'll ever quarterback in the NFL, but he should get a chance to quarterback.
I would hope so.
I wonder how much, you know, people are injured for a year and they're away from the game and they come back and they play. So he doesn't have an injury he's got to come off of. But, you know, they're the greatest players in the world. You know, if you're in the majors, if you're in the NFL, you've got to be amongst the greatest football players in the world. So how much does that throw him off? How much does he lose not getting to, you know, I'm sure he's working out every day and all. I would hope that he gets that chance. And I would also hope that he gets a chance to, you know, do other things. I would think somebody would put him in a movie. I would think somebody would put him in a television show. He's one of those people that is now, you know, how can you not have an opinion on him?
How will he be perceived, though? This is the original question. How will he be perceived in 10, 15, and 20 years? When people look back and say his name or think about him, what will the thought process be with him?
I think in the short, near-term future, is that an expression? In the near future... I would think that they might not get it, but I would think a great while from now he will be looked at as a hero.
Yeah, I do too.
I think what think of the big brass ones you have to have to be a quarterback.
Yeah,
I mean every play, 11 guys want to kill you.
There's no position in any major sport that's more important than the quarterback on a football team.
Right. As important as it is to be the catcher or the goalie or, you know, the out-of-shape guy, you know, going out and getting everybody refreshments because I said go before the period ends and nobody listened to me.
Who are you talking about? You?
I don't know.
About you?
Maybe. I'm just saying.
Maybe. All right.
You know, why just go get, like, why bring back 4 slices of pizza when you could bring back the entire pizza?
That's a good question.
Right?
Yeah.
Feed the masses.
Right.
So I think that people will look at Colin Kaepernick and go, oh boy, that was he got it.
But it'll take a little while for us to figure that out.
Yeah.
All right. Here's the other question I have, sports related. Wendy and I talked about this a few weeks ago. Bob Costas came out, and Bob Costas has made a decent living calling sporting events, including football.
Oh, yeah.
He says that in a generation, the football that exists won't be the football that we have today. It'll be a very unrecognizable sport from what we know today. Do you think that? Will they make major changes to the game?
I do think there'll be major changes made, and I think guys forget where they come from.
Yeah.
Rodney Harrison, who's on the Sunday night broadcast, he does the pre-NBC Sunday night game of the week. He's the guy with Tony Dungy and Dan Patrick, who's the former player.
Mm-hmm.
And just last week, he denounced football. You know, there are stories of, you know, kids getting paralyzed and, you know, every once in a while a kid will lose their life. And there's nothing more horrifying.
You're wearing a Dolphin jersey. The son of Nick Bonaconte is paralyzed because of
a
football play.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it happens.
Yeah.
And Rodney Harrison said, I will never allow my boys, 10 and 13, to play football, tackle football, because it's too tough a sport.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reason why these boys live in a great house and have everything is because Ronnie Harrison played tackle football. I think that a lot of the rule changes have been made to try to stop concussions from happening and try to stop these horrific spinal injuries from mm-hmm. happening. Mm-hmm. But it's also the number one sport in America. You know, baseball is the national pastime. Not anymore. I love baseball. I know you love baseball. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, football is king. College football now has the same ratings as Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Football is king.
Yeah.
And what draws people to it is the hard hitting. But there's a great deal of inconsistency. Last Monday, the Steelers-Bengals game.
Yeah.
It was like, how can you call this, you know, on one play, it's called a late hit. It's called, you know, when you're going for their head.
Yeah.
You know, they might give you a flag, but then the next time that exact same play happens, they might not throw a flag.
Right.
There's a great deal of inconsistency. So I don't so much think they need to change these rules. I think they need to be more consistent in the way they call the rules.
Yeah.
But, I mean, any sport could have, you know, I mean, guys coming, I always thought that there'd be more injuries of guys leading off third base. You know, like base is loaded and a guy is so close to the plate, a line drive, there's nowhere to go. There's right. nowhere to hide.
Right.
I'm surprised more guys don't get hit like that.
But those accidents are very few and far between. But with football, you've got 300-pound guys, you know, every 30 seconds slamming into each other.
Right. And Ryan Shazier of the Steelers last week was injured and he had to have spinal fusion surgery.
Yeah.
And they don't know what his future is. And hopefully he'll be okay. But that stadium was packed last night for the Steelers and the Ravens.
So when you watch these games, because I have to be honest, the last two or three years for me, it's a combination of thinking this thing out of, you know, the potential brain injury and other body injuries. And the fact that the Bears have just been so god-awful.
Yeah.
It has so turned me off of the game. I will watch 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there. But I used to be able to sit down and watch back-to-back games or flip around and watch several games. I can't do it anymore.
Bill, in a perfect world, I would wake up Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And after I go to my meeting,
yeah.
I would watch football from 11 a.m. Saturday until about, 10:30 Sunday night.
Right.
Virtually like nonstop. 36 hours nonstop.
Yeah.
I love football.
Yeah.
I love all sports. I love hockey.
But without even a little tinge of, oh, man, I'm watching these guys wreck themselves. There's no part of that at
no,
all.
No, no. And I have a couple of very good friends that played in the NFL.
Yeah.
And they're aware that, you know, guys that played in the league, they don't have the life expectancy of other people.
Right. That's the trade-off.
And that's the trade-off. But they both and I was lucky enough to know Dave Duerson.
Yeah.
And Dave Duerson was one of the coolest people I ever knew.
Yeah.
And I did not know him at the end when he took his own life, and he was smart enough to not, you know, go anywhere near the brain when he took his own life because he wanted it to be tested.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that tells me that something is wrong. And, yeah, guys are getting, you know, years later, you know, some people it's very soon, other people it's years later. But because they played football and had these horrible head-to-head, again, you're going against the greatest, you know, athletes, greatest football players in the world, there's going to be head injuries,
right.
And you're not going to know it right away.
Yeah.
But now they have the concussion protocol, and they have the
and that's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
And they have the tents on the sidelines. I love the tents. That would have been so great when I was playing.
So what goes on with the tents? They bring you in.
Instead of having to go to the locker room, they just go right in the tent.
It's faster. It's more efficient.
Yes. They don't have X-ray machines.
Right.
But like I think for a concussion like that, that's like more serious. I think that the tents are like if you got to pull a guy's pants down and check something out.
Yeah, right.
Now you have a tent covering them.
Yeah.
I just see the tent and I assume there's a bar mitzvah.
Also a good thing.
Yeah, bar mitzvahs are very good things.
Also a very good thing.
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
Bears won, yes.
Yeah, that was my question. I think we all are.
We were going to talk about mall Santas, Jasmine.
We might still get to that.
Serious brain injuries.
We might still get to that.
Yeah.
Are you surprised that nobody from O.J. Simpson's dream team has come forward and said, hey, we didn't really think about this at the time, but
that's
now there's
the
been
reason
so
he
much
shot
evidence
yeah.
that his brain isn't quite right, stabbed, not shot, but O.J. maybe...
That's why he did it.
Are you surprised nobody from the Dream Team suggested that?
Yes. My friend, I used to work with this football guy. We'll just call him Yurko.
All right.
And if he would spill coffee on you,
mm-hmm.
or if he would, like, you know, do anything, whether it was like a fender bender or he wasn't in a fender bender, but like whatever happened, he would say, hey, kid, you know, if he got a word wrong, if he misinterpreted what you were saying,
yes.
he'd say, hey, I played football. That's his excuse. That's his out.
Right.
I don't know how that wasn't. I don't know how that hasn't come up. And I would think, like, for all every time, you know, every day in the paper, there's another guy got a DUI.
Right.
You know, I would think, like, how do you not say, oh, it's because I was a football player.
Right.
I got hit in the head too many times.
I'm surprised that isn't.
Right.
Right.
See, that'd be like a go-to.
Right. Right. My neighbor who lives across the street from me is a former NFL player, and over the years on this show. I've interviewed several dozen, and I know that as we get older, we all tend to slow down, but the rate by which they slow down, both physically and mentally, is so alarming.
Yeah.
That every time when they leave, I say to myself, I don't know how the people around them deal with it. Watching them, you know, kind of fizzle down at such a quicker rate is just so frightening.
And they were electric. They lived a faster lifestyle than all these other people around them.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't really, you know, happen in my family. Everybody's like, you know, what's the most electric thing, you know, any of us have ever done? Well, you know, Uncle Danny sat in first class once.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, you know, and now he's just flying coach.
That shouldn't age you.
No, but it would.
Yeah.
You know, now all of a sudden you're just, you know, having to pay for apple juice.
Of course.
I don't pretend to have all the answers. I would, you know, if my son wanted to, if he were good enough and he wanted to play tackle football.
You wouldn't try to talk him out of it at all?
No.
Not at all?
That's
interesting.
I would not. I don't think you can hurt yourself or you can get a head injury playing video games all day.
I don't think.
No.
I swear, we've thought about this. Terry and I have thought about this. Uh-huh. And if the girls, I mean, they're girls, so they're not going to play in the NFL.
But they could play a sport.
But they could certainly, right.
You know, there's a story about an Olympic pole vaulter.
Yeah.
You know, who just missed the spot.
Yeah.
Missed the jump. And, you know, now there's a reason why pole vaulters have to wear helmets.
Do they? I didn't know they did.
Yeah. So there are many sports that women participate in where they could have serious head or spinal injuries.
Right. Yeah. But if they were serious about one, I would do everything in my power to try to talk them out of it. Despite the fame and fortune that come alongside of being a pro athlete, I would do everything in my power to say, please, please, please rethink this. It's not a good thing for you.
You know, unfortunately, you get hurt. You know, I mean, obviously, much more of a chance you'll get hurt playing football.
Right.
But you get hurt playing any sport. You get hurt in any walk of life.
Harry, I play the most dangerous sport on the planet, ping pong. You're preaching to the choir here.
You're so totally... You don't cheat in ping pong, but you will do things to set yourself up to have an advantage when you don't even need one.
That's true.
Okay, I'm...
Is that bad?
This might surprise people. I'm not a natural athlete. So I go over to Bill's house to play ping pong. He's like, oh, I got these great bratwurst. You love bratwurst. Wait till you taste these.
That was
these.
The day we played tennis. That wasn't ping pong.
So I have like three bratwurst. Okay, let's go on the court. Like, you wouldn't have won every point anyways.
I got you the large bratwurst.
Yes,
too.
You did. And then like, people that actually care about tennis, like Mark Carman cares about tennis.
Genius.
He's in this league at the East Bank Club, like over 86. And he's like, oh, I can't believe Bill beat me in tennis. Like, what did he do?
Okay, in bratwurst.
Well, it's something. You always have
I keep some brats in the
you've got like some psychological edge you're taking on a guy.
I learned that from Rommel. He taught me that. Harry, we have to close things off in just a little bit. We'll come back and we'll close up shop. Stick around. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. I think we've done enough damage for one day.
I think, yes, I blame myself. You were great.
Oh, come on.
Thank you very much. It was great to fill in with Wendy last week and to Bill. And thanks to Jasmine, your incredibly cool executive producer.
She did a nice job, didn't she?
Yes, she did.
And she's operating at like 10%. She's very sick.
You mean because she's from Alabama?
Yeah. I think that's what's causing the illness. I do.
Well, we'll know how to treat her if we're in more winter.
Yes, we will. Harry, thanks so much for coming in and filling in. I was thinking on my way in all the years we've known each other, I think this is the first time you and I have co-hosted together.
It is the first time we've co-hosted.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Had you on as a guest several times.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you come in and just read the meters a few times for us. I don't know why you do that, but you come in and you have a clipboard and you mark things down and mm-hmm. you leave.
What started out as a Halloween costume can become a career.
It always does. Mm-hmm. It always does. Thank you for doing this. Tomorrow, from the WGN-TV Morning News, will be our guest co-host.
There's no way that I could hope to be as good.
That's it, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.